Welcome back. I'm Hammer, and this is Happening Now. Hey, today we're talking about something very cool, near and dear to my heart. 420 is coming up. And if you like a little bit of ganja, a little bit of weed, you know, it's healthy for you. Even though they tell you forever. Boy, back in the day, if I had one little frickin' joint or one little roach in that ashtray in the car, you're going down for 10. Right, Adam?
That's right. I wish it was only one little roach they found on me, but I know a couple cops who surely enjoyed an ounce.
And of course, we all know by now we're talking 420 is marijuana, Mary Jane, the hooch, the stuff, you know, the marijuana, the things of dreams.
But you know what? It's not that thing anymore. It's not that problem. It's not that, you know, the one federal drug that they go after you and they give you a freaking lifetime for having a little dime bag.
True, nowadays, but I think it's our generation, right? Our generation went from totally illegal reefer madness. I mean, that came out, I think, probably before I was born or right about that time. But in our generation, it's turned into something no different than drinking a beer.
I mean, not even in your generation, fellas. I mean, my own. I remember we still had to go to a couple normal meetings to try and get marijuana legalized when I was even living up in Washington State. And I mean, now the difference of just driving down the road or getting it delivered to you, total night and day.
Well, I think we're looking at the federal legalization, right? I mean, we're getting real close, I think, to the United States being totally legal. I know Canada did it last year, right?
Well, how many states are legal now?
I think we're still only at
9.
I mean, it's definitely under 20. We might be closer to like 13 or something. Does that sound right to you, Troy?
I think that sounds right. But a lot of states, I think, are lenient on it now as opposed to what they were before. Like Hammer was saying, it's like, you know, you get a little waft or a roach in your ashtray and it's like cuffs, you know, we're past that.
Especially being on the West Coast where every state with a border is really lenient on it, at least has medical. But then you'll shuffle along our little borders inward and back east. And I think you hit a lot of spots where it's still such a stigma and such a mental issue rather than a physical issue, you know?
I know it's a problem when I'm driving my VW bus and the cop pulls up alongside me and goes, "Hey, man, do you think you're driving fast enough?" I said, "Well, you're right there next to me." He goes, "I'm walking, son."
Speaking of your bus, it's awful smoky in this studio, isn't it? What's going on in here?
Hey, we were hotboxing.
Hotboxing the V-dub. My new book, Hotboxing the V-dub.
You know what? That's cool. Yeah. I'd read that.
You know what, Hammer, you started out by talking about 420. We all know where 420 came from. I know a lot of the kids these days are like, well, it's April 20th, right? I mean, is it April? Yeah, it's April. April 20th, but that's not where it started. And I know, Adam, you know where it started, right?
Oh, yeah. And sunny hills of San Rafael, California.
That's right.
Well, lay it on me. What's the program?
You take it away, Troy.
Well, I tell you, there was these five high school kids, San Rafael, California, Northern California, and they just decided a good time to smoke weed was at 4:20 in the afternoon, probably because school was letting out, right? I mean, 4:20, it kind of makes sense.
I think it was the few minutes between school letting out and detention kicking in for them, right. If I'm not mistaken.
That perfect time, right?
I was never early to detention, man.
And there was a statue just outside of campus there in San Rafael. It was Ponce de Leon, I believe it was, right? So they'd go out there, and at 4:20, they met at that statue back in 1971, I believe it was. And they'd go out there and do some reefer madness. But it also, supposedly, there was a map to the local grower, and they could never figure out how to get there. So they'd meet there, smoke, and try to figure out where to find where those grower was up
find
in San Rafael.
His chronic stash that was up there, tucked amongst the redwoods in the hills of Marin County. That's right. I'd heard that one, too.
Yeah, it was a thing of legend, right? And then...
yeah, but man, that stuff was never hard to find. Come on.
Especially not on this side of the country. No.
And then they called them... Adam, what would they call them? They were...
They were the Waldos. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, where did Waldos come from? Well, they went just outside the wall of the school grounds to smoke. So they were the 420 Waldos, and it was a 420. Oh, what was the name of the state? I know it was Ponce de Leon, but there was a Juan. No, it wasn't Juan. What was it?
It might have been like Magellan or somebody. I forget. Or
no,
I
had the right person for the statue, but there was a name, a first name, and it escapes me at this moment.
Yeah, but how do these urban legends start? And there's really nothing to them. I mean, a bunch of little punk kids smoking some reefer after school, and it becomes an urban legend.
Well, I mean, think of California, right? California in the 70s, we set all the trends. right? And that's where it came from. And it is a, supposedly a true story. And then they, you know, it started to get picked up on. So all of a sudden, to go smoke dope, no matter what time of day or night it was, 4:20 is what you said. So it was 4:20, let's go smoke.
And it sure got a lot of, you know, it's one urban legend that got parents looking through their kids' sock drawers for a stash rather than the other way around.
And I can't tell you what they found in my drawer. Ooh.
Damn, you could smell the stuff I used to get. You could smell that thing a block away. Come
yeah,
on.
My mom always thought my socks stunk, but it was actually weed that smelled like it.
You know, Hammer, you're real lucky that bus has the canopy top on it, though. The Suburban I used to drive had a little hideaway spot back under the wheel well. And I'll tell you what, with the rain was going and I had to leave that baby locked up, I was not hoping mom was taking it for a grocery run because she knew the lettuce was already in the car.
Yeah, exactly. How many times did your parents bust you, Adam?
Yeah, man. I don't think they busted me too many times. I was trying so hard to like get through school that by the time I knew where to get my own weed, I would come home stoned, but I did get to class and finish my homework and
Well, you know your Aunt Valtraud, my mother, every time she caught me, she'd go, put that shit away, get in the car, let's go to the bar and have a beer.
Let's solve this problem. Solve this, yeah, like Germans do.
That freaked me out in high school, though, because I remember going out in the parking lot and the kids in the, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning were just hotboxing their Chevy Novas back then, and I was like, I didn't smoke back then. I was like, oh my God, how do they even get to class and how do they operate? But times change.
Well, it was amazing how great I was at math back then, because I'd show up to math class, I'm totally porched, and the teacher would go, Hammer, you're doing really well. And I said, yeah, I really appreciate that. You're in the wrong class, kid. Oops.
No habla español.
That does explain why your Spanish is so bad,
speak
too.
French.
It's funny the guys were hotboxing back then, too, because it was truly the only way we could do it with how much it rained up in Washington. And so to make it to class without smelling, I think everybody either had to have a jacket stuffed with dryer sheets in a plastic bag while we were getting our deed done, or you had to Febreze in the one parking garage you could find before you head into class.
And your parents always wondered why you wanted a Coca-Cola in the can. It wasn't because you're going to drink the Coke, because that was your pipe.
I need that can.
One thing I feel like is developed with like the popularity of pot that we've got is the art that goes along with it, because the glass blowing and what you can smoke out of now is mental compared to just dealing with a can that you have to pull out of the trash for at lunchtime.
I know more about Adam now than I ever did.
Back when Troy and I were kids, they just frowned upon it, man. You were just like the worst of the worst. Not that we
stoner.
Weren't. Yeah, stoner. Yeah. And it was a badge of honor for me. I don't give a
I remember one time when I was going to college, I found weed in high school, but I wasn't a hot boxer in the morning before class. It freaked me out because I was an athlete too, and I just didn't see how that worked out. But today, actually, it's an enhancement for some athletes. But going to college one time, I think it was my freshman year or sophomore year, I went back home for the summer, and this guy had this bag of weed. And when I say bag, I'm talking about probably 3 feet by maybe 12 inches.
I think they call that a suitcase.
It was enormous, right? And he's, it was cheap and easy back then. Remember what we called it? Mexican weed. It was just all seeds and stems, but it was huge. And I get back to school with this thing, and my roommates, the entire dorm is like, dude, are you kidding me? I was the most popular guy for like the next 2 months at school. But, you got to work your way through it. It was pretty bad stuff as opposed to today. Talk about how times change, right? Everything is like really good now. But it was so funny bringing a bag like that to school.
It's like drinking a fine whiskey or, a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Or getting kicked in the nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were smoking Pabst back then.
Now when you go to the pot shop, you can buy the cheap stuff and be very happy. That's what I've found. I just need a little nug of the really good bits. But as far as what I can hit at the end of a workday, man, the cheapies get me by just fine.
Yeah.
Like I've said many times, I'm lazy. I want to eat my Twinkie at the same time. So the edibles work the best for me.
I was just thinking you could use a Twinkie as almost like a filter, right? Put your joint in the end of the Twinkie and suck it right through that creamy filling.
Oh, that's a new flavor for them, right? Actually. I think that's one they're working on. If that wasn't a St. Patrick's Day green coloring they were going for, then it's definitely an April special coming later in the month.
I think I did that at Burning Man. I'm not sure, but...
You know, Hammer, getting back to your 420 and the story of it, in Colorado, Western states, Colorado specifically, everybody steals the mile markers, the 420 mile markers. And the Department of Justice, or Department of Transportation, decided not replace them anymore. And they move them a half a mile down or a tenth of a mile down. So it's mile marker 419.9. And they started stealing those because of the nostalgic nature of it's still close and we're beating the system. So now they started moving it down a half mile. So now, like, you know, you'll see 415 and a half mile marker in Colorado and out in the West. And that happens all across the country. You'll see even street signs that are 420 West something or other, they have to change those. So it's a pop culture for sure.
Dude, I don't even get that. I mean, the guys I used to get stoned with, I mean, the only thing they'd say is pass the Cheetos, you know? I mean, we didn't move off the couch. Come on.
That's why I'm suspicious of your Twinkie at Burning Man story.
Yeah.
I think that was...
You should be. Yeah. There was more involved than that.
Pretty sure that was a couch on the sand down by the wedge. Nothing more.
Exactly.
Well, you bring up the idea of edibles. You know, that's becoming extremely popular because, you know, guys like myself who are asthmatics, you know, may not be the best thing to smoke. So edibles have become extremely popular. Adam, what's your experience with those?
I always tried to enjoy a couple Reese's peanut butter cups that were infused with weed before I would go to a concert or anything like that while I was in high school. It was always easy to, I had suckers too. That was one of my favorite in math class, actually, like you were saying, how helpful that was, Hammer. I sat there in math and society for an hour and a half of a 45 minute class enjoying my edible sucker. But the real thing,
the teacher didn't know anything, right? Nice.
No candy in class, Andy.
Yeah.
But the real thing that gets me is when people start cooking with weed and like trying to use it as a part of like cuisines as well. I have a bit of a nightmare experience with that because while I was in college being, you know, somewhat of an athlete myself, surfing and snowboarding, I didn't have quite the restrictions as other folks did in the athletic department. But I did have a roommate who worked very hard in a couple local grow rooms and collected a lot of the extra trim to make hash oils with. And time and time again, it doesn't matter how I would say it, what I would suggest to this roommate, he would always use my slotted wooden spoon to mix his hash oil with. And one day after a long night of him working down in the basement, I happen to have a paper and a presentation due that day, and I go downstairs to enjoy my coffee and eggs, finish up with the cast iron, and while I'm cleaning it, the young fellow that shares the room with me too comes in and says, "Oh, you didn't use that spoon, did you?" I was like, "Yeah, that's my spoon. That's what I cook. That's how I do my breakfast, right?" He's like, "No, dude. Joe was cooking with that spoon making hash oil all night."
As your eyes start flapping up and down, you're like, "Wait, what?
I think my sweat glands had sweat glands at that point. It was all problems. There was nothing I could do for the next 8 hours but lay in the skylight in my room, holding a blanket and just closing my eyes. Oh my gosh. So edibles, fine. Know your limit, learn your limit. Hash oil spoons, do not use them. That is not the way.
Well, the key to edibles is start very small. Have a little bit, you know, wait an hour or whatever.
Yeah, wait 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you're going, 20 minutes later, that's not working. You pop a little more, you're in for a ride.
Yeah, you know? I actually picked up some 1,000-milligram cookie one time.
And my buddy, the whole thing?
Going to a concert, and we went into, you know, within a half hour, my buddy had his nails dug into the chair in front of him. He couldn't move. Might have been a little heavy at the time. And all I kept remembering is like, "Oh my God, I drove here. I drove here. I kept going. How are we going to get home?"
You need to treat yourself, if you're on edibles, like you treat a puppy. expand your world slowly and only interact with familiar things for the first few weeks to months of your life.
I like that mommy thing.
You know, as you guys know, I used to run music venues and at Lido Live, and we really didn't have that many problems with the drunks, but some of these people would come in there with edibles, especially the 40-plus-year-olds, and all of a sudden, they didn't want to leave that seat. The concert's been over for an hour, and they're like, have we taken off yet? I mean, you know, no, this isn't an airplane, all right?
Adam, you reminded me of something again. It's like as I'm staring past his camera to Hammer's VW bus and Hash Oil, and sometimes life stories just kind of come together. Yeah. But when I was living in Ann Arbor back in the day, this is probably early 80s, late 70s, something like that, my cousin slash roommate had a VW bus, and I can't remember what year it was, but you know, we'd always be tinkering with it and working on it and stuff like that.
That's what they need. There's
always
never
tinkering,
not a
yeah. Yeah. And he decided to sell it, and this super long-haired hippie dude came to the door one day, oh, much for the bus, brah, you know, and he comes
in the
house.
I think that was me.
You know, I can't remember the numbers that my cousin was asking for his bus, but I do remember what the payout was. The payout was $200 cash and this big red cellophane ball of hash, and that was it. We're like, done deal. This is a done deal.
I delivered mattresses for a while while I was in college as well, and going up into the hills around where I went to school, there were a lot of folks growing, and it was just as common for me to deliver a new bed to a sweet old lady living out with her garden as it was two dudes in a pickup truck with pit bulls and AKs saying, just leave the mattress here. Yeah. We drop it there for them, and they say, thank you. Here's a half ounce. You guys have a great day.
That's my kind of people.
Damn. Tips are tips. Yeah.
That's right.
So legalization, right? I mean, you brought up another point, Adam. It's like I know of a guy currently in today's world that has friends up in Northern California, and to go up there and get near their farms, you meet guns, you meet bad people, you meet big dogs. I have to assume those are illegal grows as opposed to the legal ones. But where's that fine line? I mean, where are we right now with those guys don't need to do that anymore? Do we have to wait for federal approval of all this or what? What do you guys think?
Well, here's the deal. I think that, you know, you still got to protect your crops no matter what it was. Even back in the day when the guy was growing corn, he had to protect his crops. But there's so many people doing it now. They're not spying on you with planes anymore and seeing who's growing and all that. They don't really care. They don't want to have that federal money out there doing that, especially when states like California and Oregon, Washington, they're all legal. So I think it's a lot calmer now, and I think a lot more people are doing it. But what's happening is you're getting a better product because these people are getting the right kind of fertilizer. They're getting the right kind of grow product, which they couldn't get before because a lot of that stuff was illegal to sell because
they always sold it as tomato fertilizer. They could find it.
It was tough, though, back then. Yeah. I remember some of my friends that have been growing for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, when's the last time you found a seed or a stem in anything you've bought? It's no more, right?
The last time I was going through a farm tour with a friend, and we said, this bag is no good. We're taking it.
Let me throw this away for you.
Yeah.
This is tainted.
But back to your question about legalization, what I find is the family folks who I know who still work in that industry, they're able to pursue kind of the lifestyle I think that they've had for a long time just through a way that's a little safer. And people can actually, you know that they aren't just private contractors or high mountain agriculturalists anymore. They can actually know, like, all right, we can just talk about what these folks do. Where I think there's still a tension and critique on whether or not, like, growing is happening illegally is who's doing it. Because there still was a strong cartel presence when I was in Northern California. And it's still a big part of I think, the folks who are really causing problems up there today.
Well, that's never going to go away. I mean, you know,
I totally agree.
It's just not. You're always going to have some corruption, but at least now we don't have to park our bus on the sidewalk and, you know, walk up to the corner with 10 dudes going, hey, you want a dime bag?
Yeah, and you're worried about getting stabbed at the same time.
Because all they're going to do is jack you.
Yeah. Hammer, I got a question for you. The big issue with a lot of folks has been, well, if you legalize weed, it's going to go right to heroin and right to, you know, everything else. I don't see the connection personally. What's your thought on that topic?
Well, I get that's a scare tactic, but there's no proof in that. I mean, I've known guys that, you know, they're in their 60s and 70s that still smoke weed. They never, you know, hey, we might have tried shrooms or something back in our 20s or something. By the way, highly recommended. but, you know, you don't, that's not true. It's just, it's another thing to scare the parents so they're like freaking out on the kids instead of having a real good conversation about, hey, this is okay, but like everything, moderation's the key.
And especially at the federal level, nothing moves quickly, especially decriminalizing or legalizing substances. It's only until they realize that they can make some money off of the taxes, it's going to get anywhere. And they've already made fake heroin. It's messed up this whole country. So we know they've already got that checked out. They don't have anything else to squeeze out of that lemon.
That's 75% of our homeless population. Is government heroin.
And 25% of local Costa Mesa.
And opioids, right?
Yeah.
Opioids.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not, the guys living out there in tents aren't the guys smoking weed.
No.
You know, 99% of the people that smoke weed or are using CBDs or whatever you call it, they all have yabs, you know?
Yeah, and here's the question, right? If you're driving the opposite direction on a road and you've got a guy coming the opposite way and you just smoked half a joint or you just smoked half a bottle of vodka, which one would you rather encounter?
Yeah, I want the guy that's doing 4 miles an hour.
And happy as hell. Who gives a peace sign as he's driving past.
Exactly.
You're good.
Because I can get out of my car and say, hey, dude, you just move over a little bit.
So one thing I think was a big myth that was fed to us while we were in school, too. Like, sure, there's the gateway drug theory, but one was about, like, the security of your weed. And I remember this word being tossed around all the time. And it really wasn't until later that I realized it didn't mean anything. But people would always ask us, you know, oh, how do you know your weed isn't laced with something?
Oh, that's what you mean. I gotcha.
Right. And I mean, my weed was never a sneaker. It's not laced with anything. Nobody's going to take, you know, a gram of coke and put it on your weed and sell it to you as weed.
Yeah, for cheaper. They're losing money that way.
Yeah, the person selling to you is still a business person. They're not flushing it down the drain. Come
on. Well, now it's all fentanyl, right? Now fentanyl's the big worry about being laced into everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but guys, listen, these guys, like you said, Adam, they are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They're out there, even though if it was illegal back then, they're still thinking outside the box. They're packaging their stuff into dimes or 20s or 5s or whatever, and they're selling it. They don't want to give you bogus weed.
Mm-mm.
Well, and that's true of all drugs. You know, I've watched a lot of those TV shows, and it's like these guys slinging crack and whatever in the inner cities. The better stuff they have, they're going to get all the business, right? I don't hate to relate that to weed because, you know, there's a lot of good grades of weed and bad grades of weed, I suppose. But, why would they lace your weed with something more expensive and, you know, a lot more toxic?
I mean, yeah, you can relate it to anything. Like, why would you lace a proper beer? Why would you lace a Guinness with a Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know?
It's like putting my Rolls Royce engine in your VW bus. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, no, that does.
No, that would be cool.
Actually, that. I'm going to red flag on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
Yeah, you got four Pinocchios on that one.
Yeah. I got a real interesting point about all this topic that neither of you guys have had to deal with, and I have, and that is I've got two children who are in their early 20s. And so this all became legalized, you know, as they were coming through high school and college. So, you know, what do you do when I have my old mindset of, you know, 70s, 80s, you know, weed consumption where it was like, you know, reefer madness hiding behind the door to now having the kids have, you know, some of their friends over from pool parties and there's smoking dope all over the place. That was a hard transition for me. You know, it's like, oh, geez. But then I think it's the same as a beer. It's legal, right? What's the difference?
There is no difference
right?
Now.
I got over control it real quick.
Yeah.
It's kind of mentality too. And I think, you know,
plus, you're that creepy old guy watching your daughter's friends.
Well, it's the blinds and the, you know, when the blinds separate, you know, daddy's still watching.
That's a good look. Fingertips and eyeballs is a great look for teenage girls.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I think it comes down to mentality shift about it too, though, because we can sit here and believe that weed is so bad and believe all these things that we're told through funky outlets like the Reefer Madness films or, you know, just say no to drugs. Thanks, Nancy. And we can buy into all that and believe it. But if you back up for a second and actually look at the science.
Nancy probably grows her own or has somebody do it for her.
Yeah, I mean, that dementia came from somewhere.
Yeah.
That's for
sure.
Yeah,
I think that came out of Ronnie's underwear drawer.
Yeah. I mean, half the time you see her on TV, she looks like she's freaking 10 sheets of the wind.
No, but Adam, you're completely right. You know, and it goes back to what Hammer said too. You know, it doesn't mean you can't try it. Try it. If you don't like it, don't do it.
Yeah.
If it helps you medically, do it medically. I have a big science background. It's perfectly legitimate medical benefits to the weed. I mean, there really
is. Well, let's talk about that side of it. Okay. That's, you know, that's how they really, you know, I kind of, this isn't a good analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. Everybody used to be really hard on Kevorkian and end of life, like we put down our animals. But all of a sudden, you know, everybody said, you know, when somebody's so sick and hurting so much, maybe you should do a, you know, the Kevorkian method. Mm-hmm. You know, finally, they did the same thing with marijuana. These people, nothing else is working. Nothing. And if they do, they give them, you know, some drug that just knocks you out and just makes you stupid as hell. If you give them a little bit of CBD or whatever they call that, it seems to help. It helped my mother, and I've seen a lot of other
people.
Yeah,
I got some CBD for my mom when she had stage 4 cancer. So, and, you know, it if nothing else, it relaxes them. You know, it doesn't make them think about their issues so much. And by the way, CBD doesn't have the high effects.
Well, look, your other side of that is, okay, you want morphine or do you want CBD?
Exactly.
You know, that's, right. And, you know, big difference there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, talk about, like, identifying the medical benefits of something, especially when we're, you know, looking at the black market and everything, and, oh, it's a gateway drug to heroin. I mean, they're already selling you the gateway drug. They just have given it 8 different names. So now that we've okayed one that's a lot healthier for you, I think there's so much worthwhile in looking at it and recognizing the benefits, especially for folks who are in those difficult health situations and would like to be able to eat a meal without running to the toilet 4 times to vomit, you know?
Yeah, especially with that joke that they call chemotherapy that doesn't ever work.
Yeah.
And I had a friend of mine that, matter of fact, my assistant for 20 years, her husband got cancer, and his mom used to roll him joints just so he could eat. Yep. You know, so he'd smoke a little reef because he was on the chemo, and that's the only way he could eat. So anybody that tells me that this isn't a positive thing, you know, they're not reading from the right book.
Yeah, and going back to your I can't say his name.
Kevorkian.
Kevorkian. Kevorkian.
By the way, he had a bust like mine.
Did he?
Yep.
What's one of the best movies ever? Soylent Green. Remember Soylent Green?
Oh, my God. Now you're
talking
about
eating
people.
Was that the best movie ever?
Come on. Gee, Chris.
You know what? If you got to go out, you might as well go into a room with your favorite colors, your favorite movies playing across 3 walls, have your favorite meal, and bye-bye.
The only thing, and most people aren't going to get this unless they saw that movie, the only thing I remember really specific about that is back to Adam and the spoon was the spoon with the jam on it.
Yeah. Well,
caution around spoons.
Yeah. The part of that movie which may not be so cool was that after you passed away and you
became lunch.
You became lunch for the people who were still alive. Yeah. Your green wafers, Soylent Green.
Well, you can tell we're high talking about freaking Soylent Green. Jesus. People are going to be looking at this thing. What planet are these people from? Soylent what?
Well, 420, it's upon us, right? I mean, it's time for everybody. It's a worldwide celebration, actually, for marijuana.
And how about the worldwide side of it? Have you guys ever played the Amsterdam game, ran around into the coffee shops there? I've always traveled around South and Central America a lot more than Europe and found plenty of what I needed to down there. But
I have played the Amsterdam game. Amsterdam game.
He's playing it now.
Yeah, I'm playing it now. That's right.
Come on down, Hammer.
Yeah.
See what you've won.
And guess what? You can get yourself in a lot of fun and a lot of trouble at the same time doing that one. But yeah, they don't do that here. They should.
Well, they have hash bashes and stuff. Back again, I lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan for a while, and they had the hash bash for years. I think they still have it. And the city let them do it. It was a very liberal college town.
Yeah. I mean, I think that by the time that we can have pot festivals on the level that we have any like microbrew festival or wine festival, I mean, Santa Monica does a wine thing on the pier every year, right?
Yep.
That's the perfect open air environment to chill out millions of people in Los Angeles by just rolling them up and getting everybody blazing down there.
And I still can't get it out of my head though. I mean, people look at that and go, oh my God, look at those freaky hippies getting all stoned. Go walk into a bar. What's the difference? Yeah, you know, except for they get more sloshy in a bar.
Anxiety.
Than
if we go back to the '20s, let's go back to Prohibition.
Yep.
I mean, all the Bible thumpers were saying, "Oh, you're evil if you have a little bit of this." It's the same thing. You know, we're getting more educated. We're understanding what the product is, and we're learning. And you know, the people, you know, they die off, and the new regime comes in. The younger kids, like Adam. And they're going, hey, this stuff's great. It works for this, 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 and this. My shoulder doesn't hurt. I don't have to stress because of my job. When I come home, I have a couple puffs instead of having a couple beers.
And I'm not in math class. I'm in Spanish class.
Right. Guys, it's time for us to head out. Thanks for hanging with us. We're going to go hotbox in the VW. But if you like what you heard, go ahead and comment. Hit that subscribe, that like, that bell. And we'll catch you next time on Happening Now. We'll be right back.